Morning show at East Coast. Well, some time back, we had a chat with Marion Reynolds, who settled in Greystones, and she was in with her book, A Soldier's Wife, inspired by a photograph, and it opened up a huge story about Ellen, who left Ireland with her soldier husband. So that was then, but now, Loving and Losing is the new book by Marion Reynolds, who joins us. Good morning, Marion.
Good morning, Declan.
Good morning. Nice to talk to you again. How are you keeping these days?
Very good. Writing away, as you can see, I'm nearly finished the third book now.
So oh, good for you.
The lockdown has been good for me, anyway.
Excellent. Well, just remind us about A Soldier's Wife so that we can get the context.
Yeah. Well, the story is based on my grandparents' lives. And my grandfather actually was from Little Bray in County Wicklow. But he joined the Connacht Rangers when he was quite young. It was kind of one of the few options available people at the time. And he joined the British Army, went to India, came back, and decided to look for a wife. And my grandmother's cousin was also in the Connacht Rangers, so brought him home to meet his family, who were in Mayo on Lord Lucan's estate. Anyway, they went to India, had a wonderful time there for 7 years, came back, and First World War broke out, and James went to fight in France. And Ellen was left in Dublin with her four children. And it wasn't a very good place to be as an allowance wife, because people felt badly about those who'd gone to fight in the First World War, and badly about people who had a kind of pension because their husbands were away fighting. So that started the story, and the four children that feature in that story are now adults in the second story.
They grow very fast, didn't they?
They did.
So, Loving and Losing, what's that about now?
Well, the four children, I'll tell you about each of them individually. Harry is, was a soldier at the very end, at the beginning of the new Free State. And in the book, I have him raising the tricolour as the Union Jack comes down. That was a bit of imagination on my part, but
indeed,
I thought it was
yes.
a nice touch.
Yeah, and especially relatable to, the previous story, yes.
Exactly, yeah. So Harry becomes a politician eventually, and he enjoys it for a while, but he actually comes in at the wrong time because he's in the Fine Gael party, and quite soon they are ousted by the Fianna Fáil party. So he's in opposition all the time. However, he remains in politics. And it's an interesting time in politics, really, because that was the time in the 1930s where, like today, there was a terrible housing problem. Most people in the city were living in tenements. My grandparents lived in houses called artisan dwellings, which were particularly built for people like civil servants, returning soldiers, etc. And they were lucky to get one. But most people lived in dire straits, really. And the Fianna Fáil government then set about a huge building programme of all the big schemes that we now know in Dublin.
As Cabra and Ballyfermot,
exactly,
and Merino, Whitehall.
Yeah, and they found the money because De Valera stopped paying the land taxes to Britain and used money for that purpose. Some of it anyway for that purpose, which was very good. So it was a very interesting time, and so that's Harry anyway. And the next son then is Joseph, and Joseph is a bit of a dreamer. He becomes a civil servant. You know, there weren't jobs were at a premium in the 1930s. He feels lucky in a way to get a job in the civil service, but he's bored because he's very imaginative and he wants to be a writer. And gradually, he finds his way into a very kind of left-wing socialist group, one of whom is the famous Frank Ryan, who led the Irish who fought against Franco. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He led the Irish against Franco, whereas the church was encouraging people to go to Ireland and fight on Franco's side. There was a lot of controversy, really, in the state at the time, and lurid stories about what Franco was doing and what the the Republicans were doing and so on. But he finds his way there anyway and fights.
So am I getting the impression that what you're doing is weaving history?
As I did in the first one.
Through the family, and you're giving each of the four in the family a different role based on what happened in history.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it, because the third child then is Kathleen. And Kathleen is the more flighty member of the family, but she first of all becomes an actress with the Abbey, gets a bit bored because of the type of dramas they do, and eventually manages to join the Gate, falls in love, has a disastrous love affair, which kind of almost ruins her life and threatens the lives of some of her family as well. So that's Kathleen, and the fourth child is fairly ordinary and normal. She's training to be a teacher, meets another teacher with whom she falls in love, but again meets all sorts of difficulties in her love life and in her career, mostly because of various rules of church and state. And so it goes on. As you say, each of them find various rules of church and state that threaten their happiness. But they overcome them.
And yeah, it's very and I can understand loving and losing, because each of them have loved. We've a loss in politics. We've on the losing side in the Spanish Civil War. We've a disastrous love life as such, and relationship life with the actress. And we've also got somebody who's fallen foul of the strict conservative laws back then. So they all lose in a way, do they?
They do. They all lose. They all love, and they all lose, and some of them find love again. So that's how it goes.
And has this all come from the family history of your own that you have such an interest in this?
Well, the problem with writing from family history is that the nearer you get to the present day, the more difficulties arise, for the simple reason that there are still family members alive who kind of knew
yes.
the people. Or were sons or daughters of them. For instance, I had a lot of cousins, still have some cousins in their 90s, because I'm the child of the youngest child of the family. So they kind of remember a lot, and what tends to happen in families to say, no, that didn't happen like that. No, he didn't have blue eyes, you know. So I actually changed the four children. So it's not really based, except that a lot of incidents, a lot of experiences were experiences of the family or close friends of the family, people I knew in the area. It's set in a particular area in Dublin, Infirmary Road, off the North Circular Road, if you know it, and that's where the story is set. So I knew a lot of people when I was growing up, and I used some of their stories as well.
Excellent. So this is number two of the trilogy. So you're busily,
yeah.
right? Does it bring it more into, what, the 50s or 60s or what?
No, it actually just goes through the 30s.
Right.
But the 30s in Ireland, if you've ever read anything about it, was a very difficult time, because it was so, rules of church and state were so strict. I mean, people nowadays can't actually believe how strict they were. For instance, you know, there was no such thing as family planning or contraception of any kind. You know, it was just verboten, and that was it. People didn't talk about it. There was no access to it except illegally. So that was one kind of rule that affected everyone eventually in some shape or form, and particularly affected Harry and his wife. Other rules, you know, strict rules. Teachers, for instance, had to live up to very strict moral codes. And so Mary finds herself, you know, getting into trouble for something actually she didn't do, but she was suspected of doing, and loses her job. And, I mean, that's based on real life. There were a number of teachers in the 30s that lost their jobs for, you know, for different sins,
indeed.
Like living with a married man, or, you know, being yeah. taught to be having an affair or something like that. So,
and the one we all know is Eileen Flynn then, with
exactly.
her difficulties.
Yeah. Yes.
Right,
so,
Marion.
You know, that sort of thing happened all the time.
Very good. Well, congratulations on getting the second part out. They always say that the second part is always more difficult after the initial rush of the first, but you've managed very well. And you're into the third already, so
yes,
well done.
Thank you.
So, all available where these days?
On Amazon, and they're available in both paperback and as an e-book. Both books are available there, and the third one I hope will be available next year, early next year sometime. So that's A Soldier's Wife and Loving and Losing.
Great stuff. Marion Reynolds, and how are you finding Greystones? Okay.
Oh, I love it. It's great. I mean, it was so great to live here during the lockdown because we could walk to the beach.
Yes.
You know, and you think of people who are in the city and can't get to even a park or, you know, a garden. And it's such an amazing place to live.
Well, you're saying all the right things. They'd be happy with you. Very good, Marion. Great to talk to you as always. Thank you very much. Look
Lovely
after yourself.
Lovely to talk to you, Declan. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye. And that's author Marion Reynolds in Greystones on The Morning Show.